But it's Dan at this time, and we're going to offer a prayer to Almighty Yahweh as we are about to hear the word. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this Sabbath day to give glory to you. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings from on high. We ask, Father, that you would bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, and we know that you can do all things, Father. There is nothing impossible for you, because you can do any and everything, things that we cannot even conceive of. Father, raise us up. Bring us to a higher level of service as we seek to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. We ask, Father, for forgiveness for any sins that we might have committed. We are human, and we are sinful people, but we also are repentant sinners, Father. We're sorry for the things that we've done against your law and committed against you, because only you we've sinned against. So, Father, forgive us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Touch our hearts and cause each one of us to have an open mind and receive the implanted words that you prepared for us today. And we love you and thank you, Father, for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood, which is so precious. That's the cost, Father, and that's a high price. And the world doesn't understand the price that was paid for our sins. So help us, Father, to overcome this world and Satan the devil and not yield to the sin of the flesh, but to be spiritual, Father, in all things, giving glory to you in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. We humbly ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled Admonition to the Faithful. Admonition to the Faithful. We're going to start in Psalm 31. Turn over to Psalm 31 for our opening passage. We're going to start in verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, which you have worked for them that take refuge in you, before the sons of men. In the covert of your presence will you hide them from the plottings of man. Yahweh is going to protect and hide his people. That's what the word tells us. Zephaniah means hidden of Yahweh. Yahweh is going to hide his people. It says, you will keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be Yahweh, for he has showed me his marvelous loving kindness in a strong city. As for me, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications. You heard my prayers. When I cry to you, O love Yahweh, all you his saints, Yahweh preserves the faithful. It's very important for us to understand that Yahweh preserves the faithful. And plentifully rewards him that deals proudly. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you that hope in Yahweh. So the question today is, do you hope in Yahweh? Because if so, these admonitions are to you. Because these admonitions are to the faithful. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 13. says, better is a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who knows not how to receive admonition anymore. So what Solomon is saying is that a poor and wise youth is better than someone that knows the commandments, that's not doing them anymore, who are forsaking Almighty Yahweh. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. Matthew 5:14, and we'll read down to 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the stand, and it shines to all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Are we doing this for ourselves, brethren? The question is no. These admonitions are to the faithful because Yahweh wants us to understand that we are a light to the world. We're not a light to ourselves. We're not going to be put under a bushel or hide the blessings Almighty Yahweh has given us. We want to share them with the world. We want the world to know who our Mighty One is. That's why Jerusalem is set up on a hill. So people passing Israel Route 1, you might say, whether they're going from Asia down to Egypt, or going from Egypt up to Europe, and they go right by, they can see a gleaming temple on the hill, and they'll say, "What is that?" And, "Oh, that's the temple of Yahweh, the living El, the only true Elohim in the whole world." See? And we are that temple today, brethren. We are that temple today. So our light has to shine forth so people will see that Yahweh is our Mighty One. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "For I do not wish, brethren, to have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was the Messiah." That rock was Yahshua the Messiah. "However, with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were overthrown because of their sin. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things." As they also lusted. "Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and 23,000 fell in one day. Neither let us make trial of Yahweh, as some of them made trial and perished by the serpent. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them by way of example, that they were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And we are living in the last days, brethren. And the end of the age has come upon us. So these things were written for our learning, our warning, so that we would know what to do. This admonition is to the faithful. It says in verse 12, therefore let him that thinks he stands, watch out, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful. And truly Yahweh is faithful. He's given us enough information to be able to get to the kingdom. This is why we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome this life. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know if we're going to be martyred like some of the Maccabees were. But we have a purpose. And that purpose is to do Yahweh's will. It says, Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted of what you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So he's telling us that we will be able to endure all things. We're going to be able to overcome all things. Anything that comes our way, he's going to give us the ability to deal with it. We may not have all the understanding or the knowledge necessary at that time, but guess what? We will be able to deal with it. He's going to give us what we need, that information that we need to get over that problem, that temptation, whatever it may be. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. There's six things that Yahweh hates. Verse 16. It says, there are six things which Yahweh hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that utters lies. And he that sows discord among brethren. These admonitions are for us, brethren, because we know how we should carry ourselves. Yahweh wants us to be faithful in all things, just as he is faithful. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I normally start over in 5:22 when I'm talking about a lot of these admonitions are to the wives, to the servants. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, this is to the children. It says, children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of Yahweh. And this is what we have to do. We have to teach them the commandment, and we have to show it to them by living these commandments ourselves. It's not something that we can say and not do. We have to, you know, live the sermon. We have to live it so that they can see it, and then they'll follow it. Psalm 101. Verse 1, Psalm 101, verse 1, it says, I will sing of the loving kindness of justice. To you, O Yahweh, will I sing praises. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no base thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cling to me. When we set out on this path to go to the kingdom, we can't turn aside. We can't put ourselves to the plow and then turn back. Because you're cursing yourself if you do that. When we take this vow to serve Yahweh and we go in that water and receive baptism, it's till death. See, because we take on the death of Yahshua the Messiah. We've joined him in that. See? That's why this is so serious, the vows that we've taken. In verse 4, it says, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil thing. Whoever privately slanders his neighbor will I destroy. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall minister to me. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that speaks falsehood shall not be established before my eyes. Morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land, to cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Yahweh. See, we've taken that covenant. We've joined a covenant to do this, to be a part of Yahweh's people. This is a spiritual thing. Nehemiah chapter 9. We've read about Nehemiah when we were reading in the book of the Maccabees. Nehemiah chapter 9, actually we're going to start in verse 7. You are Yahweh the Elohim who chose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gave him the name Abraham, and found his heart faithful before you, and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, to give it to his seed, and have performed your words, for you are righteous. And truly, Yahweh is righteous. This is the reason that we have an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. Okay? Because of his righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, as the scripture says. All we have to do is be repentant sinners. And he's cleansed us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. He's given us that opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. Through Yahshua's sacrifice, not our own. It's nothing that we've done, brethren. It's only Yahshua that we have an opportunity through his blood and salvation. In verse 9, it says, and you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for you knew that they dealt proudly against them, and you gave you a name as it is this day, and you did divide the sea before them, so that they went through the middle of the sea on the dry land, and their pursuers you cast into the depths as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, in a pillar of cloud you led them by day, and in a pillar of fire by night, to give them light in the way in which they should go. You came down also upon Mount Sinai, and you spoke with them from heaven. and gave them right ordinances and true laws and good statutes and commandments, and made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses your servant, and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. And commanded them that they should go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. Now the land that he sworn to us to give us is the kingdom of Yahweh. The Israel already inherited the land. But we're to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. We have a much greater promise. In verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck. They hardened their neck and listened not. To your commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And this is what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to return to your bondage. He wants you to return to sin. He wants you to lose out on salvation. But you are an Elohim, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and forsook them not. Yes, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is your Elohim that brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and worked great provocations, yet you and your manifold mercies forsook them, not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from over them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night. Joshua was with them the whole time, brethren. The whole time. He never forsook them. Excuse me. Yahweh never forsook his people. You gave also your good spirit, your Holy Spirit, to instruct them, and withheld not your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Yes, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes grew not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and peoples, which you did allot after their portion. So they possessed the land of Sihon, even the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also you multiplied as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land concerning which you said to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the peoples of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took the fortified cities and a land, and possessed the houses full of all good things, cisterns hewn out, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, and they were filled and became and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their back and killed your prophets that testified against them to turn them again to you. And they worked great provocation. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their adversaries who distressed them. And in the time of their trouble, see, it's always when that trouble comes that we want to turn to Yahweh. When we're in trouble, we're going to cry to Yahweh. See, when things are good, he's the last thought for most people. But when the trouble comes, that's when they want to turn to Yahweh. When they cried to you, you heard from heaven, and according to your manifold mercies, you gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their adversary. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried to you, you heard from heaven. And many times did you deliver them according to your mercy and testified against them that you might bring them again to your law. And this is what constantly is happening. Yahweh is constantly bringing the people back to his law. Yet they dealt proudly and listened not to your commandments, but sinned against your ordinances, which if a man does, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years did you bear with them, and testified against them by your spirit, through your prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the people of the land. Nevertheless, in your manifold mercies, you did not make a full end of them, nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. And we know Yahweh is gracious. We know he's faithful and merciful. This is why his admonitions are given to the faithful, so that we would receive the blessings of the promises that he's prepared for us. In verse 32 it says, now therefore, our Elohim, the great and mighty and terrible El, who keeps covenant with kindness, let not all the travail seem little before you that has come upon us, on our kings and our princes and our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers and on all your people, since the time of the kings of Assyria to this day. However, you are just in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt truly, but we have done wickedly. Daniel, remember Daniel's prayer was very similar to this, that Israel has sinned against Yahweh. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept your law, nor listened to your commandments and your testimonies with which you did testify against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, and in your great goodness that you gave them, and in the large and fat land which you gave before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and as for the land that you gave to our fathers, to eat the fruit of it and the good of it, behold, we are servants in it, and it yields much increase to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sin. Also, they have power over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Yet, for all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and our Levites and our priests to seal to it. See, they took this covenant and sealed to it, even though they were in a situation that they were not totally in control. Yahweh was in control, even though they had gone into captivity and the Persians were rulers over them at that time. But Yahweh was in control. And he allowed them to be able to go back to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. Now, chapter 10, we're going to continue in verse 1. It says, now those that were sealed were Nehemiah, the governor, the son of Halakiah, and Zedekiah, and Seraiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchiah, Hattush, Hananiah, Malak, Arim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Jenathan, Baruch, Meshulam, Abiyah, Nehemiah, Maaziah, Bilgah, Shemaiah. These were the priests and the Levites, namely Yahshua, the son of Hananiah, Benui, of the sons of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their brethren, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Mika, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zachar, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, Beniu, the chiefs of the people, Parosh, Tahath, Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Bunny, Asgad, Ebay, Adoniah, Bigvay, Adam, Atur, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Nizai, Harith, Anathoth, Nobai, Magpiash, Meshulam, Azir, Beshizabel, Zadok, Yadua, Telethai, Telatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Ashub, Heloish, Hilhah, Shobek, Rehum, Hashbanah, Maasiah, and Ahiah, Hanan, Hanan, Anan, Malak, Harim, and Benai. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinim, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land, to the law of Elohim, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and everyone that had knowledge and understanding, that they joined to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in Elohim's law. What about us today, brother? Do we have this type of understanding? Are we willing to be admonished? And this is what the admonition of the faithful is all about. Are we willing to walk or enter into a curse, into an oath to walk in Yahweh's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Elohim, to observe to do all the commandments of Yahweh, our sovereign, and his ordinances and his statutes, and that we should not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy of them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and that we would forego the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. And we saw that as we were reading the book of Maccabees concerning the sabbatical year. It's important that we keep the whole counsel of Yahweh. We can't say that we're Yahweh's people, but we're not keeping the sabbatical. We're not keeping the feast days. There are people out here who will keep the Sabbath, but they won't keep the high Sabbath. Okay? They're differentiating. They're cutting off their blessing because they're not willing to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh. Now, the admonition to the faithful is this: we're going to keep it all. We're going to keep the sabbatical year. We're going to keep everything holy that Yahweh told us to keep holy. We're not going to pick and choose what commandments to keep. Titus chapter 3. Brethren, these admonitions are serious. this is serious because most people aren't willing to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh. They're going to have a problem with part of the law. They're going to have a problem. Well, I'm sorry, I can't keep the Feast of Tabernacles because my boss won't let me off for 8 days. I can't keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, because my boss, Pharaoh, tells me I can't go into the wilderness and do this. See? But what did Moses do? He went to Pharaoh and said, Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, is telling you, let my people go. They have a feast, they have an appointed, a Moedim, they have a time that they have to keep with me. And he let them go, didn't he? He let them go. Titus chapter 3 says, put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. See, so we're no better than those that are out there that just don't know. They don't know that they don't know. We have to bring it to their attention. See? That's what Yahweh wants us to do. It says in verse 4, but when the kindness of Yahweh our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works and righteousness, which we ourselves did, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out upon us richly through Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the saying, and concerning these things, I desire that you affirm confidently to the end that they who have believed Yahweh may be careful to maintain good works. That's what we have to do, brethren, each and every one of us. That these are good and profitable to men, but shun foolish questionings and genealogies and strifes and fightings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. And people are going to come to you. And what you have to respond to them, we don't fight about the law. Now, what you're asking me, what does it have to do with salvation? You're talking about you're 6 removed from Zadok or whatever, and you're in this genealogy and that makes you what? You understand? It's not about your genealogy. It's about the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. He cleansed all our sins. None of us, not one of us, is perfect. And not one of us is sin-free. That's why the scripture said, a righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. See? There are people out here that believe they're perfect. And they have deceived themselves because they believe that they are perfect, that they are without sin. That's not according to the scriptures. I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible tells me that all men are sinners. The difference is that we have to be repentant sinners. We have to be sorry for the sins that we've committed because of the blood of Yahshua. It says in verse 10, a factious man, after the first and second warning, refused, knowing that such a one is perverted, and sins being self-condemned. When I shall send Artemis to you, or Tychius, give diligence to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have determined to winter there. Set forth Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting to them. And let our people, see, our people, those who are servants of Yahweh, also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. All that are with me salute you. Salute them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. So Paul was very, very diligent in calling the servants of Yahweh out. He wanted them to understand that they were no better than any other person out there. The difference is, we got to be repentant sinners, brother. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and we're going to start in verse 32. We did part of this last night at New Moon. Because, you know, all this is related. And I kind of keep things rolling as we relate. So if you miss one part, we did record last night. It will be on the website probably within about a week. But you want to listen to it. But Matthew 24, verse 32, it says, "Now from the fig tree, learn her parable. When her branch has now become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. Even so you also, when you see all these things, know that he is near, even at the doors." We're so close to the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah, brethren. It's not funny. "Truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no one." I don't care who comes up and says he's going to return this particular day, this particular hour. They are false prophets. The Bible says, "But of the day, that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son." Yahshua don't even know. "But the Father only. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two men be in a field, one is taken and one is left. Two women shall be grinding the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not on what day your master comes." "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would have not permitted his house to be broken through. Therefore, be you also ready, for in an hour that you think not the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and wise servant?" See, these are admonitions to the faithful, brethren. This is what we have to take from this message. Yahweh is trying to tell us to be ready. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all that he has. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My master tarries,' and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and shall eat and drink with the drunken." And there are many out there that are doing that. They're taking advantage of Yahweh's sheep because they feel he's not coming back real soon, not tomorrow. See? They're taking advantage of the people. "The master that of that servant shall come in a day when he expects not, in an hour when he knows not, and shall severely scourge him and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Much destruction is going to come upon those people. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? By no means, or that grace may abound? By no means. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live in it? For are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into the Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in likeness in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. But if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that has died, that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Yahweh and the Messiah, Yahshua." Brethren, it's very important that we understand this chapter. It says in verse 12, "Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust of it. Neither present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law or the penalty of the law, but under grace." Now, if you sin, you're going to be under penalty of the law. You know why? Because you know better. You've been given that opportunity. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the penalty of the law or under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servants to be obedient, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But thanks be to Elohim that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were servants to sin, you were free in regards of righteousness. In other words, you didn't have to worry about the commandments because you were in sin. What fruit did you have at that time in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life, which comes only through Yahweh. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And that comes through Yahshua the Messiah being baptized in his name. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life, the Messiah, Yahshua, our master. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 1. It says, "Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good, to edify. For the Messiah also did not please himself, But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell upon me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the Elohim of patience and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another, according to the Messiah Yahshua, that you may with one accord and with one mouth glorify the Elohim and Father of our Sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, receive one another, even as the Messiah also received you, to the glory of Yahweh. For I say that the Messiah has been made a minister of the circumcision for the truth of Yahweh. He might confirm the promises given to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify Yahweh for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah said, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he that arises to rule over the Gentiles, on him shall the Gentiles hope. Now the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may increase in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to do, brethren. We want to increase in that power of the Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit is given to them that obey. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29-32, we read, but Peter and the apostle answered and said, we must obey Yahweh rather than men. See, they were being compelled to blaspheme and not use the name of Yahweh or the name of Yahshua. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you killed, hanging him on a tree. Wasn't on a cross, he was on a stake, on a tree. Him did Yahweh exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which Yahweh has given to them that obey him. He's given us that Holy Spirit, brethren, all those who've committed themselves to keeping that covenant law. For our closing passage, turn over to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to start in verse 1. Remember, this message is entitled, Admonition to the Faithful. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh will rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Each one of us should be showing that glory of Almighty Yahweh. And nations, in verse 3, shall come to your light. Remember, we, each one of us, has to be a light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover you. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarsus first. to bring your sons from far, their silver and their gold with them. For the name of Yahweh Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. And foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor have I had mercy on you. Your gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nation. And the kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending to you, and all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet. They shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man passed through you, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of my generations. You shall also suck the milk of the nations, and shall suck the breath of kings. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For bronze I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver. For wood, bronze, and for stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace, and your exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, desolation or destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but Yahweh will be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the earth, Haaretz, the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little ones shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it in its time. Brethren, be faithful in all things, and Almighty Yahweh will bless you in all things. Keep Almighty Yahweh first and watch how he lifts you up from your humble position to praise and worship him with all his holy ones. Be humble servants, brethren. Let's be faithful in all our ways between now and the Passover, striving to be good examples to all our neighbors and enemies, so they will praise the name of Yahweh. This is the admonition to the faithful, so that we will be a light to those around us, that they will give praise to Almighty Yahweh in his holy name. At this time, I'd like to ask Herbert Davis if he would come and close with a word of prayer.
Father Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace. We praise you and we thank you for your words. We ask that you would be our wisdom and our peace as we apply your words to our lives. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would be with us in all ways and all things. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would continue to show us, Father, ourselves, Father, so that each and everything within each and every one of us that is not of you can be removed. We ask right now, Father Yahweh, that you would continue to quicken our spirits, Father. Continue to stir us up on the inside with thy Holy Spirit. And as we go forward in the rest of this Shabbat, we ask that you would continue to lead and guide us into all truth. We ask this in your Son, Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
for our closing song. I'd like to sing number 15. Let the weight of your glory fall.
Thank you.
let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall.
Now,
we'll have Brother Willie McKelvey lead us in the benediction.
Let's all take our songs and selected scripture and turn to page 143. That's page 143 in the Psalms and selected scripture. We'll be reading Titus 2, 11 through 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14. And it reads, "For the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying wickedness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and devoutly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works." Hallelujah.
Now, we have a Bible reading tonight at 7:30. So, everyone, we look forward to you joining at that time.